What you talking about, girls? Breaking the rules. I hope we don't get caught. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Okay, cool kids in the back of the bus. Got questions about Metro bus service? You've come to the right place. We welcome back the general manager of King County Metro, Kevin Desmond. And we're at 206-543-5869. He's here to answer your questions. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's toll-free, 800-289-5869. You can write to conversation at KUOW.org. We just talked to someone organizing a rally around the failure of the legislature to pass a transportation package. And as I think the attitude of some of the lawmakers was, we'll do a better job next year in the next session. Do you think that we can wait till the next session to pass a transportation package from your perspective, Kevin?
Well, we're running out of time. Our priority was to get it done in this year's session. We run out of money by next summer. And unfortunately, we now have to begin the heavy-duty planning for up to a 17% reduction in service. We have to put together proposals. We have to present those proposals to the public in the fall. We have to spend some time, as we normally do, in listening to the public, getting public feedback on the proposals, and then begin to package those up to go through ultimately the county council, which has to approve the reductions. And all of that would happen next spring, early summer. And then by September of next year is when the first reductions are planned in order to begin to balance our budget. So the timing of the state legislative session this year for a revenue package, which presumably would have to go to the voters. So if it was a local option or something else, a lot of time would pass before, even if it were to pass the voters, before the revenue would flow. So we would find ourselves in a pretty tough cash flow problem. So we needed to get it done this year. We haven't. We have to now start the process of developing and bringing forward to the public the proposals.
So miracle of miracles, should the legislature jump to it and pass a package in their session next year, would that mean you'd be able to call off any cuts to your service?
Well, that's a hypothetical question. We'd have to cross that bridge when we get there. Obviously, that would be a good outcome, a better outcome than what we've seen so far. But it still presents the problem of more red ink and deficit spending during a period of time. So, you know, we'll have to see what our finances are at that point in time. If the economy is a little bit stronger, revenue's a little bit better, maybe there's some extra cash that can keep us going. But I think we have to cross that bridge when we get there, if we get there.
And let's break down where these problems are coming from. You had a $20 annual car tab fee for bus service, and that's running out. That's part of the problem.
In the 2011 legislative session, which was a good outcome, I think, at the end of the day, and a good bipartisan outcome, both certainly here in King County and our county council, the legislature did understand that Metro was facing a cliff, did understand that Metro and King County had done everything in our power to close the gap through raising revenue, spending cash, working with our labor partners, finding other efficiencies in the organization. And they allowed us a two-year temporary, what we call the congestion reduction charge, a $20.
Now it's 2 years later.
And now it's 2 years later, and it's run out. And the promise at that point in time of the legislature, we'll give you a two-year bridge funding tool. We'll come back in 2 years, and we'll take care of business on a statewide basis, because there's been an understanding for years that the state was running out of money for transportation funding, and they wanted transit to be part of any potential solution. Here we are 2 years later. And unfortunately, the legislature did not act. So we're kind of left holding the ball, and we now have to start this unfortunate process of developing service reduction proposals.
Kevin Desmond is with us, and we're talking about possible cuts to service. They would happen sometime next year, but the planning process is moving ahead. The Metro, his agency, would need to come up with a plan. The King County Council would need to approve it for it to go in place next year. And as you hear him say, he doesn't think it's very likely that that's going to be averted, but even if the legislature passes it next year. And as has been the talk, it will probably end up going to the voters. So we're talking about some time before the money was even approved, much less in the pipeline. So we're going to talk some more about these cutbacks. You said cuts of 17% that could include elimination of almost a third of the routes. Is that accurate?
Well, we have about a little less than 220 bus routes. And the illustration of potential reductions that we released in April of this year showed that 65 routes could be eliminated altogether. Those would be the routes that in the scheme of our system are sort of lower productivity or very expensive routes to operate, like our peak-only commuter services that are rather expensive to operate. Another 86 routes could see some form of reduction, less frequent buses. Maybe the buses don't operate as late at night, maybe not on weekends and so forth. So it's pretty broad-based impact on the system that we would forecast.
What's your prediction of how riders would react should these cuts go through? Will they just take other buses? Will they? Will many of them drive instead? What do you think the result would be if you make these cuts?
This is where the really fully integrated nature of our network plays in. To the extent to which we cut some routes, we reduce some routes, many people will have a choice to go to a different route. Almost by definition, the routes that we're not going to be eliminating or cutting back on are the most heavily used routes. So if people more and more gravitate to those already heavily used routes, many of those routes are already overcrowded. We get complaints from customers on many of our very heavily used routes, particularly during the peak period and even sometimes in off-peak period, that they're really very crowded, a lot of people standing. So a lot of people who use routes that aren't going to be affected by the reductions directly may see a negative impact of higher loads on the buses. So, you know, these are all the things that we have to take into consideration running the system through our very, very elaborate and specific service guidelines.
So, of course, some lines would be more crowded as people jump on those lines because their lines are gone. But overall, would you expect there to be less bus ridership?
Yes, and we would forecast something in the neighborhood of 8 to 10% reduction in ridership. That's a lot more cars on the road and, frankly, a lot more carbon emissions as well. So you've got a region that's going to start slowing down. The Metro Transit service is part of a transportation system. It's part of a network, whether it's the state highways, local arterials, just local roads. The transit system is there for people who either have to take transit or choose to take transit because it's convenient, it gets them where they want to go and the way they want to get there, leaving more room for people that need to drive, freight, and so on and so forth. So the fear, I think, legitimately from many of our coalition partners, our elected officials, is it's going to ultimately hurt the attractiveness and therefore the economy of King County.
Now, you have a degree of specificity on these cuts, like which routes, et cetera. You've already gone through this exercise, haven't
you?
Well,
what we did in April, we released our service guidelines report to the King County Council. And the guidelines are pretty specific. And you work from the bottom up in terms of productivity following the pretty elaborate rules of the guidelines. Those were not formal proposals. We will be using the most up-to-date service information. So in April, the information that we had was from way back last spring of the previous year. So we need to update the information, and we're going to be very specific on exactly what the proposals would be, including a fair number of restructures. So what we proposed, what we showed at the beginning of April, there were no restructures. Those are more complicated. The purpose of restructures is to attempt to minimize the overall impact of reductions.
So if someone could take a look at a draft of what you might do, but it's based on old information, and this would be at your website, King County Metro.
Yes. So the information we released in April, on April 1st, does give the public a pretty good indication of what will be coming this fall.
You think there'll be that many changes in what's up there right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, our starting point is we've got to start from about 600,000 service hours and take it from there in terms of the public participation and ultimately the work with the council.
So you might check that out if you've got a question about a specific route. Kevin Desmond is with us. He's the general manager of King County Metro, 206-543-5869, 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869. Or you can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. We've got Holly on the line, and she is listening in the Magnolia neighborhood with a very specific question about how this might affect her. Holly, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. I'm actually in Ballard right now, but I'm in the process of moving to my new apartment in Magnolia. And I was so excited that my new bus route, the 24, is less than a minute walk from my front door of my apartment and takes very little time for me to get downtown to work. And I heard that it's one of the ones that's up for being pulled back on, but I'm wondering, I guess this is a general question to most of the routes. While there's a lot of routes that get really crowded with standing room only, the Magnolia bus is almost always like half or less full, and I just wonder if, I know it's a really obvious question, but is anybody looking at doing like minivan service versus entire buses instead of cutting those routes? Because for workers like myself, gosh, I really love that route.
Well, you know, that's a really good question, Holly. And, of course, customers like you are the ones that we desperately don't want to negatively impact by service reductions. And thanks for using Metro. We look at alternative ways to provide the service. But at the end of the day, a mini route or a minivan still takes a person, still takes a vehicle to operate it and still costs money. So we are beginning to look at various alternative forms of providing transit service. We just in September or this spring, we got approved by council some changes out on the east side. We're going to be looking in other areas as well. We also have a vanpool program for many of the routes that might be cut and go away. We'll be certainly pursuing with the people who use those services to see if they want to join and form a vanpool.
Holly, thanks a lot for your phone call. We got a couple emails about this question, Kevin. Shauna Rudd, a social worker at the University of Washington Medical Center emergency room. We've been informed that Metro has done away with single-ride paper tickets in favor of the rechargeable Orca cards. We typically give dozens of these out per day to low-income residents needing transportation to or from medical appointments and now have no way to help these patients access bus transportation. Shauna writes, I'm extremely concerned about this decision and the impact it will have on how low-income, homeless, mentally ill, and other vulnerable community members who are unable to afford bus transportation and maybe unable to track and maintain a rechargeable card like the Orca card. And a similar note, Liz wrote, Angeline's Day Center for the Homeless Women on the East Side in Bellevue has a sign that they are out of bus tickets. I went to a familiar retailer and they no longer sell the bus tickets. Liz kind of wants to know, I'd like to help these folks out. How can I get some money to them to get them to be able to use the bus?
Sure. Good questions. And I think this raises the larger issue of the pressures that our organization is under to be more efficient. So as we're looking at a huge downturn in the economy, reduced our revenues through sales tax, and we're looking at service reductions, and many people, voters, elected officials, be more efficient, be more efficient. Well, the Orca program was intended to be more efficient, to create a single ride ticket that was good on 7 transportation agencies that would be available in many, many different ways that our previous Faire Media was not available. And in fact, well over 60% of daily boardings now use the Orca card, and it's a very, very popular feature. Our rider survey from last year showed Orca actually was the number one rated feature of the transit system in King County, at least. Moving away from the many, many different types of Faire Media has always been part of Metro's plan with the introduction of Orca. The paper tickets that are referred to by both of the writers are one of the last vestiges of that. Now, we did eliminate on July 1st the retail version of the paper ticket. Many organizations that buy them in bulk, social service organizations, were still making those tickets available at least indefinitely. So I would urge both people who write you to write to us, write to me or to our customer comments, and we can hook you up with the people in our past sales office to see if we can find a way to continue the paper ticket. So there are still paper tickets.
You can still buy paper tickets. So Shauna at the University of Washington Medical Center, they should still be able to buy a bunch of paper tickets in bulk to give out to the patients.
In bulk, yes, but they're not available in the retail anymore.
And how about just an individual like Liz who just wants to get some tickets to give to people? Can an individual purchase them to give to someone else?
That's what we really need to be moving away from. We've got to find ways to be more efficient and not have all these paper tickets out there. So again, she should write to us and we'll see what we can do. But if she's just having tickets sort of randomly want to give out, that's not fully within what we try to do with organizations.
Bus riders might have noticed the dueling bus ads on the Israel-Palestine issue, one calling for equal rights for Jews, another calling for equal rights for Palestinians. A couple of years ago, I think we talked about this, the policy was changed to ban ads expressing views on matters of public debate about, among other things, political issues. There was concern at the time that ads about incendiary issues could lead to disruption on the buses. Is this no longer a concern?
Well, background first. We last year generated about $5.5 million from transit advertising. That's a pretty good amount of money for advertising that helps preserve transit service on the road. About 20% of the revenue from our ads come from non-commercial sources. So, and the vast majority of those non-commercial sources are, say, hospitals, cultural institutions, other civic organizations. A very, very tiny portion of the revenue is associated with what you might call social or political issue type ads. But if we want to have a robust enough advertising program that still keeps the buses, the bus ads available for non-commercial advertising, we've got to have some amount of what we would call, let's say, political ads on the side of the buses. We've modified our policy over the last couple of years in response to the controversy of about 2.5 years ago, based on what we found best practice nationally with other transit agencies, as well as a very, very careful legal review case law throughout the United States. And we think we have a good policy that tries to balance all the different speech needs of potential sponsors of ads, but but also make sure that we are content neutral. So if we are going to allow non-commercial advertising on our buses, to a degree, we have to tolerate a certain amount of potential controversy.
Give me an example of a controversial ad that you still would not accept.
That I can't do on the air here. I mean, that's a hypothetical that I wouldn't want to get into.
Okay. You know, we got a lot of people in the line, but I know you got to go and we've got another segment. If we forward email to you, would your office be able to answer questions for folks? That'd be terrific.
Absolutely.
So just write to us, conversation@kuow.org, if you had a question for King County Metro's Kevin Desmond, the general manager that we were not able to get to today. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.